Can be excused to go to children's church at this time. I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word, Proverbs chapter 4, beginning with verse 20. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be satisfied in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Father, whether we're here in the sanctuary or watching online, minister to our hearts just now. As we look at this passage and we break it down verse by verse, help us to apply it to our lives and take kind of a spiritual inventory to see where we are and how we're applying these words to our day-by-day living existence and growing in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. This passage starts out by saying, pay attention. How many of us have heard our parents say to us across the years, pay attention to what you're doing? Or perhaps they might say, pay attention to what I say, son or daughter. Not paying attention can get us in trouble in many different ways. A car mechanic received a repair order that read, check for clunking sound when going around corners. So he took it out on a test drive, and sure enough, whenever he went around a corner, he heard a clunk. However, he quickly located the problem and returned the repair order to the service manager with the notation, remove bowling ball from trunk. Someone wasn't paying attention. You would think a person would know if a bowling ball was rolling around in their trunk of their car. And a person wrote, I was fired from my job. We had new looking schedules, and unfortunately, I looked at it wrong. It said 10 a.m., but I went in at my regular time, 4:30 p.m. I walked into work, and my boss told me, you were supposed to be here at 10. The head boss told her I was fired. She gave me my check, and I left. Ouch. That would be a bitter pill to swallow. Failing to pay attention in life can lead to all kinds of trouble, and failing to pay attention to God can lead to even worse trouble. Any time we ignore or fail to pay attention to God and His Word, we are asking for heartache and trouble. Solomon tells his son and us to pay attention to what I say. Our ears are important for us to guard our hearts. When we hear something that is beneficial, we need to lock it up in our hearts. We also need to guard our hearts from believing things which are not good for us to entertain. We will hear things that stir up our emotions, things that make us feel good. Not that the Word of God doesn't produce good feelings, but it goes deeper than that. With the Word of God, there is wisdom and substance to it. There are plenty of things that stimulate good feelings which are harmful to us. When we hear things like, just follow your heart, and we agree with it and take it to heart, that's not necessarily good. It sounds good, and it may not always turn out badly, but it often will because our feelings do not always dictate right choices. Many bad choices start out with good feelings. There are some things that do not give us nice feelings, but are good for us. Doing the right thing when we don't feel like it is a good thing. Honoring God when our heart isn't quite in it is a good thing. Our ears play a key role in guarding our heart. Verse 23 tells us, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. In the Bible, the heart is referred to as the seat of all the actions of life. Joe Stowell in Fan the Flame says, the heart is used in Scripture as the most comprehensive term for the authentic person. It is the part of our being where we desire, we deliberate, we decide. It has been described as a place of conscious and decisive spiritual activity. The comprehensive term for a person as a whole, his feelings, desires, passions, thoughts, understanding, and will. The center of a person, the place to which God turns. Basically, your heart is really who you are. The heart is what is important to God and shows him who you really are as a person. When God was looking for a king to be over Israel to take over for Saul, what did he look for? Why did he pick David? 1 Samuel 16:7 answers the question. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. David was not the logical choice, even among his own family, to be king. Immediately, Samuel noticed Eliab. He was the oldest son of Jesse. He was a tall and attractive man, but God passed him by and Jesse's other sons and chose the youngest. Why did he choose David? He looked at the heart, because that is the true person. David was described as a man after God's own heart. That says quite a bit about his heart and what kind of a person David was. Solomon wanted to get an important message to us. First, he tells us, pay attention, listen closely, and then states the importance of his words by stating, do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's own body. Notice the blessings that come to those who hold to the truths being addressed here. Following these teachings lead to a long, blessed life. His words promote health throughout the body. Good health is essential for having a joyous and long life. So what message does Solomon want us to get? Verse 23, above all else. A lot of things are important in our life. You know, paying attention when we're driving a car, looking for those things around about us, making sure the gas gauge is not going to run out of gas, making sure that we have food to eat today, tomorrow, and whatever. There's a lot of things in life that are important. Getting, what is it? Some people say 4 or 5 hours of sleep. We used to say 7 or 8 hours of sleep, and maybe we all need to have more sleep than we sometimes get, but he's saying above all these other things that are important to us, above all else, guard your heart. So what do we need to guard against? On February 24th, 1948, one of the most unusual operations in medical history took place in Ohio State University's Department of Research Surgery. A stony sheath was removed from around the heart of Harry Bishara, a man 30 years of age. When only a boy, he had been shot accidentally by a playmate with a .22 caliber rifle. The bullet had lodged in his heart, but had not caused his death. The bullet, a lime deposit had begun to form over the protective covering of the heart and gradually was strangling it. The operation was a delicate one, separating the ribs and moving the left lung to one side. Then the stony coating was lifted from the heart as an orange is peeled. Immediately, the pressure of the heart was reduced, and it responded by expanding and pumping normally. I feel 1,000% better already, said the patient soon after the operation. You would think having a hard, stony sheath around your heart would help to protect it, but that was not the case. It had to be removed from this man in order for the heart to function properly. We also need to peel away any hardness of our heart. How do we get a hardened heart? I think Proverbs 28, 13, and 14 tells us best. Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Blessed is the one who always trembles before God, but whoever hardens their heart falls into trouble. When we fear the Lord and confess our sins, we can find mercy and avoid trouble. But if we keep allowing sin in our lives and don't hold the Lord in proper respect, we can develop a hardening of our heart. Let me see if I can explain this concept a little better. How many of you grew up without a television in your home? Okay. You probably grew up listening to the radio and were satisfied with that, but you can probably remember the first person you knew who had a television. Then you got a black and white TV, and that thrilled you at first, but you soon got used to it. Then the color TV came out, and it was all the rage. Soon you got used to that as well. Then there was cable and satellite TV, which gave you more to choose from. But soon people became accustomed to this, and now we have flat-screen, high-definition TVs that can be as big as a wall in your home. The point is, if you are around something long enough, no matter how astounding it may be at first, you will eventually get used to it. That's the same way with sin and the things of the world. If you are around sin long enough, you will eventually get used to it and probably won't even view it as sin. You develop a hardening to it, and that is what we're talking about as a hardening of the heart. What we put in our heart is what comes out of our heart through our words and our actions. We need to guard our hearts. It's supposed to be the dwelling place of our Lord and Savior, but He will not share room with the impurities the world tries to dump into our heart. We must make sure we keep them out and don't develop a hard heart that keeps our Savior out. The reason it is so important to guard your heart, verse 23 tells us, is everything you do flows from it. The heart is the source of life, the root, the fountain, the spring of your being. Whatever the heart concentrates on, the ears will hear, the eyes will see, the feet will go, and the hands will do. If the fountain is not pure, all the streams of life will be polluted. The heart is a precious garden that must be cultivated and cared for, or life will be overrun by thorns, thistles, and weeds. Look at all the trouble you go through to keep your clothes clean, perhaps pressed and mended. Is not your heart worthy of greater attention than those things? Is it not worth the care you give your house, your money, or the care you give your car? Keep it from getting defiled, stained, poisoned by evil. Keep it like a precious garden. Pull out the weeds. Nourish the word planted by the Lord. A family's water supply came from a spring just a few feet from the house. The pure, cold, sweet water bubbled up through a large pipe about the size of a barrel that had been sunk into the ground. One morning, two huge frogs were found in the spring. No one wanted to drink from the water until the frogs had been removed and the water had been allowed to flush over the sides for the rest of the day. Everyone wanted to make sure it was clean and pure again. You can make a parable out of the incident. The frogs could represent bad thoughts, and the spring is our heart. If our thought life is evil, the words and deeds that flow from within will be contaminated. Jesus said the blasphemous statement made by his enemies revealed their inner selves. They spoke the way they did because they had allowed evil thoughts to take control of their minds. How important it is to guard what comes into our mind. We become what we think. If we permit hateful thoughts to remain, we will become cruel and heartless. If we let in lustful thoughts, we will become immoral. But when we dwell on lovely, pure, and unselfish thoughts, what flows from our mouths and comes forth in our conduct will be pleasing to God and a blessing to others. So keep the spring pure. If we pollute the wellspring, the infection will spread, and before long, hidden appetites will become open sin and public shame. In order for us to guard our hearts, we really need to follow the advice found in the rest of the verses we're looking at today. Verse 24 tells us, keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Did you know the words which come out of your mouth act as a barometer of the condition of your heart? Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Basically, whatever comes out of your mouth is what is in your heart. The first step in protecting your heart is to find out the condition of it by looking at your words. What do your words tell you about your heart? If your words contain some filth, so does your heart. If your words contain complaining and murmuring, your heart may be unclean. If your words are full of gossip and slander, your heart is not where it should be. We need to allow God to take control of our words, which will allow us to retain a pure heart. Then in verse 25, we are told to let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. In order to guard our hearts, we must focus our eyes on the Lord. Abraham was the friend of God because he walked by faith and was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Lot became a friend of the world because he walked by sight and moved toward the wicked city of Sodom. Everyone has some vision or goal before them that helps to determine their values, their actions, their plans. Don't let your eyes longingly look upon forbidden things. Let your outer and inward eye be single and focused on God. Deviations from the straight life have become so frequent and so great that only those who find God's light and path even know where the straight life can be found anymore. When the eye is focused clearly on God, the whole body is full of light. If the focus of our life is to please God, then a life of integrity can be lived. You'll be true in deed and heart to your spouse, honest in your business dealings, a good worker, a good husband, wife, father, mother, or child. The metaphor of keeping one's eyes fixed straight ahead derives from farming. To plow a straight furrow, essential for cultivating and harvesting, a farmer focuses on a fixed point in the distance. I remember growing up on the farm, my father would start the first furrow in the field because he knew what he was doing. He would look at the sides to see if this year we needed to plow out or plow in. He would step it off from the side to figure out where he wanted to start and perhaps, you know, mark a spot there, and the same way at the other end of the field. But he would, when he was starting, he would see what was out there, whether it was a particular bush or a tree or, you know, whatever it might be, he would focus on that. My father usually sat down when he was driving the tractor, but not when he was starting to plow. When he was starting to plow, he would stand up, kick it into gear, and keep his eyes focused on what he was looking at so he would have a straight line. Of course, I never got to do that, but I'd follow closely behind with my tractor and plow and be in his furrow and then make the next swath as we started plowing in a field. But that was where this all came from. Jesus employed this imagery in Luke 9:62. No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. When my eyes stray to the left or the right, I will get distracted by lesser things and my attention is pulled away from where it should be. It puts me in the danger zone of having an unguarded heart. Our eyes will fixate on what our heart desires. Jesus talked in Matthew 6 about building up heavenly treasures instead of earthly ones. Then he said in verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is another guard the heart issue. Which kinds of treasure is my heart set on? My heart will be passionate about whatever treasure I seek. Solomon finishes up in verses 26 and 27. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or left. Keep the foot from evil. The best time to ponder a path or evaluate a way of life is not at the end or even in the middle, but at the beginning or as close to it as you become awakened to your need. Those who rush headlong down any path find they may make many wrong turns and forks in the road. The scripture is telling us to get all moral obstacles out of our way. We can't keep putting obstacles in our way and not expect to be tripped up by them from time to time. We must remove them and keep them out of the way. We need to avoid situations where we may be tempted to sin. We have to shun certain groups of people who may lead us down a wrong path. We have to cast aside all that hinders and set our feet firmly on the solid rock that is in Jesus in order to guard our hearts. Verse 27 says, "Do not turn to the right or the left." Solomon said to keep our eyes straight and our gaze fixed. If we don't, then as our eyes go, our heart goes, and our feet will follow. Desire breeds action. When we see something we want, our feet will take us there, unless we come to our senses and pump the brakes. So we set our hearts on not entertaining what's on the wicked path. We don't play around. We don't think we can step off and be okay because we'll just get back on. You can find your way back on the right path, but what will happen while you're off of it? Our deceitful heart tells us it will be predictable. We can step off and back on without any consequences, but we are in trouble when we think like that. Do you remember the song we sang in children's church many years ago? Let me remind you of the words. We maybe should sing a verse or two, but we'll see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. And then other verses. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Guarding our heart is a twofold endeavor. First, we must keep God's word at the center of our lives, in our hearts. If we will do this, those things the Israelites attributed to the heart, the mind, the will, and emotions will be shaped and led by God's word and wisdom. Second, we must shield our hearts from outside influences that bring us down and drown out God's wisdom. Nate had been mowing yards all summer. One day his mower died. It sputtered for a while, but eventually died. He checked the gas, and it was full. He checked the oil, and it was clean. He tried all kinds of things to get it started, but it just wouldn't start. Nate took the mower to a guy who works on them regularly to have him figure out what was wrong. The guy called Nate late in the day and told him it was running like new again. When Nate went to pick up his mower, the guy offered to show him what was wrong. He took out a little cardboard box that was filled with grass, dirt, little pieces of leaves, and an assortment of other things. The man told him, "Your mower couldn't breathe. All this stuff was choking it out." That mower is a picture of our hearts. It had fuel and oil in the engine, but the lack of oxygen prevented the fuel and oil from keeping the mower from doing what it was designed to do. We can go to church, attend Sunday school or small group, and pray regularly, but if we allow the garbage of the world to filter in, it will choke out God's word and drown out the wisdom of God given to us so we can be the people He created us to be. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Father, may your Holy Spirit